RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from November 1939. Money Mad Murders. The 81st Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Lone dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Lone returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Lone swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Money Mad Murders. Chapter 1. Long Shot Murder. Three types of players crowded the ramp at Hialeah Park. One type consulted carefully figured form charts. Then they calmly placed their bets at the parimutuel windows. Win or lose, they had figured on past performances of the ponies. The second type of players hung around, watching the changing figures of the big board that gave the betting odds. These players were nervous. They watched the long shots, where the odds were big and they might win a good stake if they won. They would rush over just before the race started and slap down their bets on the ponies least likely to win, place, or show. The third type was made up of players not risking much and not sure whether they would risk anything. Of these was a chubby-bodied, round-faced young man in a new Palm Beach suit. He hesitated before a parimutuel grill work. The young man swallowed hard and said, "You think Flying Fish has a chance to read the board?" snapped the blue-visored clerk behind the grill work. "Get your money down or quit holding up the customers." "Yeah, yeah," mumbled the chubby young man, sweating. "I'm chancing $10, sir. All right, here's your ticket. Bet you work in a bank. Next. They're leading him out." The chubby young man swallowed again. "How did you know I work in a bank?"
"Shove along, mug,"
grunted a fat man behind him.
"Century on Fancy Dan, Mart. Ain't much picking, but it's sure. What you know about that sucker failing for Flying Fish?"
Mart, the clerk, grinned. This was the big getaway stake race, the feature of the closing day. Flying Fish was priced on the board at 30-1. There had not been bets enough placed to shorten these odds any. Most of the customers were riding with Fancy Dan, the favorite at 1-5, and almost sure if small money. Or they were laying their dough on Madcap Miss and Hurricane, figured to give the long-striding Fancy Dan a finish fight. And if anything happened to the favorite, Madcap Miss and Hurricane should be in a position to cop. They were nice ponies for the wise ones to be riding with. They were almost sure to place or show. The chubby young man edged nervously off the ramp into the stand. His round face was screwed up, and he was still swallowing, as if he wished he had his 10 back, even if by some miracle that 10 might get him 300. The ponies were going to the post. Their sleek, streamlined bodies showed like beautiful living statues of perfect horseflesh against the scarlet hibiscus flaming along the inner fence. Thousands of winter tourists from the north jammed the big triple-deck stands. Perspiration and gay talk flowed under the white Florida sun. Long-legged flamingos, standing solemnly in the shimmering pool inside the big racing oval, were the only calm and unperturbed living things in America's most beautiful racing park.